Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. My name is Callie. I'm your host for today. And I have with me author, neighbor, and soupster, Shannon Martin. Shannon is a mom, wife, and neighbor living in Goshen, Indiana. She works as a cook at her local nonprofit dedicated to feeding her community. And she describes herself as a voracious reader, a wannabe gardener, a news geek, a thrift store stalker, a justice fighter, and an aficionado of not too spicy salsa. Shannon is the author of several books, but we're going to be talking today about her book called Start With Hello and Other Simple Ways to Live as Neighbors. Shannon, welcome to the Better Together podcast.
Hey, Callie. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start out. Start with hello. Hello. Glad you're here. Tell us about this book. Where did this book come from?
Yeah. So this book was answering a question that I asked throughout my life. And that once I kind of started writing about the ideas of neighboring and community, that's what all of my books are really, you know, I find a way to keep writing about that from different kinds of angles. And as I started to do that, the question I was asked most often was, how do we do it? Mm-hmm. How do we do this? You know, it sounds simple, maybe in theory. And, you know, as a Christian person, I grew up always hearing, you know, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we know that this is kind of central to our faith. And yet when it comes to just the everyday practical aspect of doing it, we get stuck.
Yeah.
So I just set out to write the book that I wish somebody would have put in my hands 12 years ago or even earlier, but specifically when my family moved into this neighborhood, into a place where we didn't know anyone. You know, for the first time, I had grown up in kind of rural context and my husband had too. And now we had people all around us and a lot of different people around us. And we were so excited, but we were also nervous and feeling a little awkward. And, you know, we're both pretty introverted. And so we just had to kind of fumble our way through, but I learned a lot through doing those things. And so I wrote the field guide for us.
Thank you. Thank you for doing it. Cause it does, it feels like our world is more disconnected now than it's ever really been. And loneliness has become this epidemic and we kind of get stuck in it. Even if we have people all around us.
Yeah.
I mean, Shannon, where do we start? I mean, and you said yourself, you're an introvert a lot. A lot of us are introverts. Yeah. I'm probably more on the extrovert side, but I have so many of your friends that are and want to connect, but it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were built and created to know and be known by people around us. We were built to need people around us. And so there is that aspect of while we might feel, honestly, you know, life can feel pretty overwhelming and we can feel like we don't have time and we don't have capacity. And we have all these kind of conflicting tensions where we don't necessarily feel like we have time for connection. And yet at our soul level, we really crave it. We're probably lonelier than we even acknowledge a lot of times. Yeah. There's that part of us that longs to be known by people near us. And, you know, we have barriers. We've got these barriers that we have to kind of find a way across in one form or another. But when we set out to title this book, and that's such a long, drawn out, complicated process.
It is. You want a good title. You've worked so hard on the content. How do you get people to pick it up?
And it's amazing how much time goes into those conversations. And, you know, I have learned over time that my skill is in writing the book. My skill is not always in titling the book. So I come up with these ideas that sort of get tossed aside. But we ended up landing on, after all of these iterations of, you know, how can we boil this down? The idea of starting with hello in my mind now, it's like, oh, this was always the title. You know, it's like when people name a baby, it's like, oh, they were always supposed to be this name. And that's how I feel with this book, because at the end of the day, whatever relationship we're thinking about, whether it's, you know, our biggest and dearest relationships or our simplest acquaintances, all of our relationships started with a simple hello, eye contact. All of our relationships start at really sort of low to the ground levels where it's not so complicated. We don't have to be afraid. And from there, the relationships build and they grow, or they don't. You know, not every relationship does build and grow, but the ones that do, they all started down at street level. And so if we can kind of reorient our perspective on simply being more attentive to our place, whatever it is, wherever it is, to the people near us and around us, if we can start to pay attention to our corner of the world and begin to just kind of build the courage to make eye contact, to say hello, that's where it starts. And then the rest of the book is carrying us through all of the now what.
Yeah.
Now what do we do and how do we do it?
So what comes next? Okay, you've said hello, and then do you just keep saying hi? I mean, I'm in a neighborhood where we all just wave to each other. We always say hello to each other. I mean, that's the neighborly thing to do. And so we do a lot of highs and waves. I happen to have three little kids who break a lot of conversational barriers, and they just open up and asking every question that you don't
kids
normally
are so good
ask
at it.
People. They,
right.
they know it. They know how to do this. But as adults, it's kind of hard. You ask each other name, you know, kind of go from there, but then how do you start to take it a little deeper to actually build a relationship?
Mm-hmm. My philosophy, honestly, and what I've learned, I guess, from experience is that we need to give ourselves permission that it's going to be very slow work typically, and that all of it counts. Mm-hmm. So I write in the book, Start With Hello, about a similar situation where there was a particular woman who for months and months, we crossed each other's paths on our walk to school with our children. And for months, we kind of started with a wave. And then months later, we kind of say hello. And then months later, she pulls up in her car beside me one day. Because, you know, at that point, she recognized me. We didn't know each other's names, but she pulled up beside me. We exchanged a few words. And, you know, months and months and months down the road, we ended up being actual friends. We ended up spending time in each other's homes. And she invited me over for tea. And, you know, so I don't think we do ourselves any favors when we set expectations for how this should look. I think we need to just let it be slow and let it kind of unfold as it needs to unfold. And then I also think, you know, there's one of the things I write about is just this idea of, I'm not necessarily just talking about our next door neighbors. I do think we would all be living a better life if we knew the people closest to us by name. You know, if we knew them and they knew us and they knew that we had their back and we knew the same, that's just a better way to live. And there are ways to break through those barriers as well. But I also think, you know, more broadly about our community, how do we find connection with the people who are already in our community somewhere? How do we start to kind of join into things that are already happening? You know, just making those inroads into actual connection and friendship and community. There are ways to join things that are already happening where we can begin to kind of, you know, again, just make those connections with people near us. It's not as complicated as we make it.
Yeah, I would agree. I remember when I moved, I'd lived in Memphis, Tennessee and moved back to my hometown of Lexington, Kentucky, but I'd been away for so long that even the friends I still had in town, they kind of were used to me not being there. So they kept forgetting I was in town. So sometimes I would just send them a message and say, guess what? I'm in town. And they're like, oh, so you live here, don't you now? Like it was just, I had to keep reaching out. But one of the things I started doing was finding things that were going on in the community that I wanted to do.
Yes.
And then I just would put together a list and send them out to some folks that I knew that were in town and say, hey, I'm interested in doing any of these things.
Yeah.
Do you want to do any of these things with me? And it was funny. There was a guy that was new to town that was a friend of a friend. And so we started going to some of these things together, not as a couple, but just as two lonely people trying to
build
a community. And it was cool how some things didn't work out at all.
Yeah.
But we had to keep trying. And then eventually we started building in some community and relationships started growing. But I love your graceful approach of it doesn't have to happen on the first try.
It almost never does. And having said that, you know, the and part of that is, and this just something you said made me think of this, but some of our closest friends right now, this happened maybe 4 or 5 years ago. You know, we were still in some sense of just kind of looking for some deeper connection within our community. And for some reason, we ended up with a free Saturday evening. It was during the summertime. And so we sent out a Facebook message to a whole bunch of people who we knew just a little bit. We knew them, they knew us, but we had never really spent meaningful time together. And we sent a message out and said, hey, anybody who wants to just come and hang out on our patio, bring something to share if you want to, and we're going to meet at this time. Most people, you know, on the fly, most people couldn't make that happen. But there were 6 people who showed up that night. And I'm telling you, I don't know what it was about that, but they to this day are 6 of our very closest friends. And it was just a quick little last minute, who wants to come over? And I think, again, if we can set the bar as low as possible, I didn't even cook the food. I told them to bring food to share if they wanted to. And they did. We have to set that bar really low. If we have the expectation that, you know, we've got to invite people over for a fancy meal and cook from scratch and the house has to be spotless and the kids have to be perfect, we will never do it. And even if we can pull it off once, maybe we can't sustain that.
Yeah.
So this is all about, like, how do we set the bar as low as possible so that we just fall into a rhythm and we're honestly practicing? How do we practice, you know, doing things at a more simple level so that we become more comfortable with that new way of doing things?
I love that word, practice. It doesn't have to be perfect yet.
Right. It never is. It never is perfect. So if we could all just be honest about that and kind of go first, if we can be the ones that start to, you know, over time, we build up that muscle and we get a little more comfortable. Then if we can invite somebody into our really kind of lived in everyday, nothing is perfect space, you know, we don't polish everything up and hide all the messes. That's how we're all actually living.
Yeah.
And we're all just a little bit uneasy with being honest about that. But when one of us starts that rhythm of, hey, come on in, it might be a mess in here, but you're welcome into our mess.
Yeah.
That is a really good place to begin.
I love that. And Shanna, in your book, you offer some simple resets like that. When you say open doors is greater than perfect decor, and familiar is better than fussy, and tender and opening up our hearts is greater than being tough. We unpack those a little more for us. I love those.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of how I structured the book, with these kind of traditional values, I guess, of things that we're taught to, you know, that we got to be tough and we have to have an Instagram worthy home, and we've got to, you know, serve these really fussy meals to people who show up at our house, like to kind of demystify all of those things that Martha Stewart taught us. and nothing against Martha Stewart, but it kind of gave us this expectation, and not just Martha Stewart, not to pick on her, but just our whole value system of, you know, we've got to have all the answers. We've got to be tough all the time, to kind of flip these things on its head and to say, what if instead of being tough, you know, we throw around a lot like, oh, everybody just needs to grow a thicker skin. That's something I've heard throughout my life.
Yeah.
And I think a thicker skin, all that does is insulate us from each other. When what we really need is to be tender towards each other, to be tender towards our neighbor, to be too sensitive, you know, air quotes, on their behalf. I think if we can kind of strip away some of those maybe misinformed or inaccurate values, especially when we think through the lens of faith, you know, we really weren't called to have a thicker skin and to be tough against each other all the time. The way of Jesus really is kind of the way of tenderness. And if we can get back to that, that shortens the gap between us.
It really does. And it's hard because we have to be a little vulnerable, which absolutely, we don't like to be vulnerable. I mean, what if someone thinks less of us? But in reality, when we're vulnerable, it allows people to let their guard down as well. Yep. It's kind of modeling what we hope others will do, but we're taking that first step and saying, hey, here's the real me.
Yes.
But we want to be known fully. And if we put that's the false us out the whole time, we're not going to get that true connection.
Yeah. We're still going to be a little lonely. You know, if there are, if at our core, we're not able to be honest with the people around us about, you know, kind of who we are, what we're about, what we're like, what we live like, then yeah, we might be able to cobble together some relationships, but we still aren't going to be fully known in the ways I think God made us to be known. And so that kind of leaves that sense of disconnection and loneliness and isolation even inside us. And so breaking out, getting a little more comfortable with being uncomfortable, that's what a lot of this is really about. That's the bad news, right? I mean, right. We aren't wired to seek discomfort. We are wired to seek what's familiar, what seems safe to us, what feels the most comfortable. And that stands in the way of connecting.
Yeah, it really can. I love it, Shannon, because some of, you know, I grew up in the South. And so Southern hospitality is big. But some of it looks the same on the outside as Christian hospitality, but there are definitely some differences. And, you know, I feel like your book gets to some of those distinctions of really getting past that outside perfection of hospitality and into really the letting people in and showing that kingdom hospitality that really just says, hey, I value you more than all this stuff.
And, yes.
I mean, you think about the early church, they were meeting in each other's homes all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To share their faith with one another, to like there were house churches and
they
didn't necessarily have a lot, but they were just offering what they had.
Yeah. Yes. We've started to kind of twist the idea of hospitality, which is kind of a fussy word. I haven't found a great replacement, but that word sounds kind of fancier than what we need it to sound. But, you know, I think of hospitality as sharing what we have with each other, like you said, Callie. So we've turned it, we've kind of twisted it into the idea of entertaining, you know, that we want to entertain. Well, I don't really, I'm a terrible entertainer, you know, like I cannot entertain you, I promise, but I would like you to come and sit on my couch. And I would love it if you would wear your sweatpants. And I would love it if we would just, you know, make a frozen pizza or grab a bag of potato chips and, you know, sit around. I say all the time, all we really need if we want to be more hospitable is a glass of water. Yeah. We do not have to complicate this. We really, really don't. And when we can start to incorporate those rhythms into our life and just kind of decide, you know, we're going to do things differently starting now. We're going to put ourselves out there in a different way. It changes our lives. I want to give credit to this, because even as I'm kind of telling some of these stories, when we moved into this neighborhood 12 years ago, not long after that, my husband became the chaplain of our county jail. And so our life became infused with people who struggled in different ways than we had struggled. And I learned so much from these neighbors and these friends and these people who I love, because they had a more, you know, if you're rebuilding after incarceration, if you're rebuilding after addiction, all these barriers, all these hardships, you automatically just, you have a different perspective on the world and a little bit more of an open-handed, you know, take me or leave me. This is what I'm going through. This is what's going on in my life. And that was transformative for me. Yeah. So any little thing that I've learned about connection and relationships and friendship, any good thing that I've learned, I have learned from my neighbors, and taking those cues and saying, you know, maybe it's just better if we all kind of set our default a little bit differently. I'm just here to say, just try it.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Shannon, if people are interested in your book, what is your hope for them as they read Start With Hello?
Yeah. You know, there's 10 chapters and each chapter is going to give a whole different theme. And so it's broken down into a bunch of these really small, bite-sized, practical, simple steps or ways or ideas. And I really wanted it to be super practical, and it is. Yeah. But the point is not that you would read this book and then just try to do everything differently. My hope is that one thing that you read about and Start With Hello would stick out to you. And you would decide that today is day one for you to take this one little area of your life and think about it and pay attention to it a little bit differently. Just one little baby step and you start there.
That's awesome. I love how simple you've made it for us. Even the simple steps, but you don't have to do it all. Just pick one thing.
We can't. We can only take one step at a time. That's all we can do. So find that first step and go from there. And it can take the rest. I hope it takes the rest of my life. I hope I continue to grow in these things for the rest of my life. We do not have to be in a hurry.
Oh, I love that. Well, friends, you've been listening to Shannon Martin, author of Start With Hello. And I hope you've been encouraged to live out your faith better together, to build relationships, to build community, not to try to feel like you have to do it perfectly, not to try to feel like you have to do it all, but just to take one simple step toward loving God and loving your neighbor through even just starting with a hello. Shannon, thanks for joining the Better Together podcast today.
Thank you.
Friends, share this with someone who needs to hear it. And until next time, remember, we are better together. God bless.